Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances, with a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained. So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored.
Looking for hauntingly unique podcasts this spooky season? Listen to I Talk to Ghosts for chilling ghost stories, genuine in-studio medium readings, and a virtual seance table where the spirits have an opportunity to speak directly to you. Find I Talk to Ghosts on all the podcast apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Happy haunting.
Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hi friends, Amy here. I just want to explain a little bit about what's going on with the beginning of this episode. We had some tech issues in the beginning, and by that I mean I forgot to push the record button at first. So here's what you missed. We did a sound check, and then we goofed around a little bit, and then we played our theme song, and that's when I should have hit record, but I was too in the moment. So we introduced ourselves and then told the audience what our show is about. And then AP read a story about a hanging execution from a book called The Nearly Departed that we did read from a couple of times. You can find info about that book in the show notes. Then we brought on Leah Evenstar, brought her up to the stage, and she told a hilarious but spooky story about two ghosts showing themselves to her when she was a child and happened to be sitting on the toilet. She, not the ghosts. And so then there were jokes for Megan about shitting her pants, of course, and you'll hear references to that story in this section. I apologize that I missed recording it because it was pretty funny. Maybe we'll have Leah come on another time and tell that story.
It's going to be different, right. But I can help discern those things and that kind of stuff. And otherwise, it's just a curiosity. So sometimes if people just want to see if loved ones have messages, like, mm-hmm. We can do dealer's choice. What do you need today? Otherwise, people will come in and they have
love
specific
dealer's
questions.
Choice.
Me too.
I say dealer's or spirit's choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, so who wants to
talk
to
you? I was thinking something else. Just kidding. Kidding, you guys. This is a family show.
No, it's not. No, it's I'm not. Like, kind of not.
So if somebody wants to work on their gifts and developing their gifts, is that something you could do?
Yes.
And if so, what would that look like?
Yeah, so
asking for myself
for sure.
Yes.
So I do work with people generally one-on-one with that because it's a unique and very personal right. process, and so we start wherever you're at. So it's more to sit down and say, okay, like, what are you already experiencing? How are you feeling about what you're experiencing? And where do you want to go from there? Like, what do you ultimately want to be able to do with that? Some people just want to, like, not have it disrupt their life. Some mm-hmm. people want to actually develop it as a skill set. So I like to assess, like, what you want to do with it. And then we can determine what your, like, sort of training or action plan would look like. And it yeah. starts very simple. And it usually starts with how can we feel safe and comfortable doing this while also not opening ourselves and our world up to 1,001 spirits.
Yes, because that's what I'm
house.
Like super scared about, because I want to develop, because I know I have some stuff.
Yes.
But I want,
as I
and
said,
I want
many gifts. Huh? Many, you have many gifts.
I'm so talented. And I want to develop them, but I also don't want to invite negative things in. So that's what I'm very concerned with.
And a lot of that is about mindset. I feel like we maybe talked about this.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, because you and I had a couple of those conversations.
Yes.
Podcast. Without us?
No, you guys were there.
Oh, yeah, I remember talking about that. Yeah,
me too. I remember it.
Well, it was right around where I was also talking about just having... I used to have a very negative perspective in life and in different things because I had a lot of things that were going in the wrong direction. And so I made a very specific choice to start thinking things in the positive light and then have seen a lot of things that have come from that. And there's actually scientific evidence that if you choose to have that more positive mindset, when you start having those neutral things, you start seeing neutral things be more on the positive side rather than neutral things being on the negative of everything's against me. So I've seen so many of those different things that have worked for me. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if I spoke to this on that show, but I will say, like, as a child, I often saw spirits and they looked grotesque and slightly like they'd be great in Halloween displays.
Oh, geez.
And so that was part of what deterred me as a kid, but it was because I was seeing through a fear-based lens.
Yeah.
Got it. So it wasn't as pure as it is now, where I'm like, well, we're all part of source in my world. So now when I see it, I'm seeing very different things and I don't need to have those kind of interactions. So I also help people with the inner changes that will help them release the fear and see, like, how can this actually be the gift that it is? Because it's a gift. But with anything, if we don't know how to use it, you know.
Yeah.
You like can go willy-nilly.
Walked out of the bathroom and stood at the foot of my bed. I was very scared. But then after a medium talked to him, this was Frank, and he explained that he was protecting me because I reminded him of his sister. It gave it a different viewpoint. But in the moment, it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I was not on the toilet, so.
Yeah. It doesn't always work out that way.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, that was the one time. I shouldn't say it. I'm sure I have conversations with them all the time. So it's wherever I'm at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful, fun world and there are ways. And I like to encourage people so that you don't feel like you have to block it out because there's ways that you can work with it that can be really beautiful. And that's ultimately what I've seen with all the clients that I've helped in that realm. They end up having these really great experiences. And it doesn't mean you still don't have silly stuff now. It's more funny. They play with me. And then some people, there's one person here in the audience today who has a sibling that likes to pop out of trees and say hi and surprise me and do funny things. And he does it in a very lighthearted way that always makes me laugh. And I know it's him.
Yeah.
So like you can have this really playful energy depending on how you choose to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of the fun for me as a medium. And maybe it works that way for other people. But if I have a personal relationship with people, their loved ones will often come and hang out with me, even when I'm not working with them or beyond that space. So it's like I've got a, you know, a crew of.
Do they ever tell you secrets about the living? And you're like, I don't know if I should know.
You know, there's been things that sometimes make me feel uncomfortable knowing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even in the channeling with clients, there's been quite a few times where the loved one is asking me to say something and I'm like, really? But I kind of just don't, like, I don't, a lot of times I don't even know the people that well that I'm talking to. So I'm like, how is this going to come up when I say this? Like, asking for strange things and weird requests. So,
you know, maybe that was their way of saying, hey, when I'm on the other side, you'll hear me say, like, purple lobster.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes it's signifiers. So I don't necessarily get people's distinct names. They'll just be these special things. So the one example with this individual, you know, I was moving at the time and getting ready and I had all this stuff to donate. And they came over to my house for a session. First time meeting them. And I had a like cosplay plastic sword as my, you know, part of my costuming stuff that I was selling. And the person kept telling me that I needed to get the sword and I needed to gift it to the client. And I'm like, cool. cool, but I just met this person and you want me to give them a sword and they wanted me to like present it to them in such a way and everything. And I'm just like, cool, like now I'm performing for the spirits. This is fantastic.
So did you?
So I did. Okay. Yes. And it went over incredibly well. Turned out it was spot on for that person.
Yeah.
The individual I gave it to loved it and utilizes it. And if they feel compelled to share anything about that while here, they can.
That's cool.
But yeah, it was just like just this beautiful unfoldment. And it has actually become a really strong symbol for that, you know, deceased person and that living. So it ended up being a beautiful thing. So now, no matter how strange the request is, I've had it happen enough times where when I honor it and I go with that flow, it has been beautiful. And I don't need, it's not for me to understand, right? Because a lot of this stuff has been so bizarre. I'm like, I don't really understand the context or how this is going to work. But I trust. So
that's awesome.
That's great.
I love that. Great.
All right.
Keeps it lively.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I know you've got, I'm sure, a few people that are going to be interested, but is there anything that's specific that you're like, I need to tell these folks this right now?
So, you know, it's funny because not a whole lot was coming through this morning, like with all the activity. Then when I actually was putting them on the spot and was like, okay, guys, so what are we doing today? Was like animals felt really significant. So sometimes for my mediumship, I just do 100% rogue. And then other times I'll use some oracle or tarot cards for the imagery and notations and numbers, because for me, it's more I'm relaying what's coming through, but I don't necessarily know the significance of what I'm sharing.
Sure.
And so they're like, take your this one particular animal oracle deck had to come with me. So I think that there's both, and this is a thing in the world, like there's animals that are here to communicate, which I know AP, like this is a huge thing. We were just talking about it a little bit before we got on here. So animals coming in, but also that it works like symbolically with people's loved ones so that there's like this space. So animal energy. And then all I heard was the word knife multiple times. And I was like, okay, but it didn't feel aggressive, but like, and it was more like was seeing like a kitchen knife, you know, triangular blade kind of thing. So I'm like, well, that's fun, but I have no idea what that means.
So when animals come through, do they talk to you? Like, can animals who are dead like talk like people do? Or like, how do you get the
So, I mean, my translations, because sometimes the people are not speaking English, so I hear it or I get images internally is how my mediumship works. Sometimes I do have, like, I'm clairvoyant, I'm also clairaudient, and like, I also have clairolfactory, so smelling. Triggers things sometimes too. So I have it in all of them. Some are just stronger. So I tend to hear internally or get pictures. So sometimes I'll see flashes of places or colors, or if it is animals, I'll get messages in English because they know, you know, it's like essentially what I feel like is happening is I'm reading the vibration of it. So when you say vibes are like in one way, it's like you can, I can read energies. So
interesting.
Humans have a different signature than animals and all that kind of stuff for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So
That's fascinating.
That is
really I also love that you include "for me," because we've talked to several different, you know, mediums and of different things. And it's, there is just, we all have our own different lives. And so it just seems like the way that it works best for each of us to understand, or, you know, be hit over the head with a hammer enough times that they're like,
or a chainsaw.
Trying to get you to pay attention to me, but apparently this is the route we'll go.
Yeah. And I specify that because there are many mediums and many, we all have that skill within us to a certain extent. It's just, are we using it? Are we cultivating it? And then there's some like me where it was like, I was born that way because I'm here to help other people navigate. Sure. So I needed to live and breathe what it was like to go through all of the stages of fear, rejection, coming to peace and neutral, and then like, okay, cool, I have to do this, and then what does that look like? And, you know, and I just feel like it's important to be more specific, and it's not like me saying all mediums are like this, or all of you guys are like, I don't like the all-inclusive.
Not all mediums.
Hashtag.
Hashtag not all mediums for the hip kids.
Yep.
Of which I am one.
I love it.
All right. Well, so, are you ready to?
I'm ready to sit and chat with people if they would like to do that. Otherwise, you know, sometimes people aren't ready in the moment. So my contact stuff is around, or if people just want to grab that and, you know, lean into it and feel into it, that's okay too. Cause again, we just, you know, we need to be in a space where we're ready to receive, because I don't get to alter the messages. I just give what's there. And like, it's even, I sometimes will help translate, but even that, a lot of it is not about that for how it works. It's just giving and then people taking that and sitting with it and chewing on it and saying, okay, this is what that means to me, or this is what they're trying to tell me, because sometimes they're not going to give me super personal details because it's not for me to step into that space.
Okay.
So I always like,
well, I would be the first in line, but I have to sit up here for a little bit.
I know. It's okay.
Same. I'm happy
to chat with you guys at any time.
Oh, good.
As you know. And I hope know you know that. Anyways.
And we love chatting with you.
And I so appreciate being here and having the opportunity to share in a supportive way, because I think this is a space where people get kind of freaked out sometimes, and I don't lead with the fact that I'm a psychic medium.
What?
In normal scenarios.
You're not like, hi, I'm Leah, I'm a medium?
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Sometimes, if I'm feeling particularly cheeky, I'll lead with, hi, when people are like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I talk to dead people. It's cool. Like, you know.
I love it.
It's just, but you have to kind of know.
Very sixth sense.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yep. You definitely have to have that feeling of the audience, and I love that you say that, because I have had conversations with people I'm like, I'm not gonna talk about this aspect of things, or I have others that I'm like, feel like they'd be really interested in knowing about a medium, and then I dive down that and they're like, yeah, I've always wondered, but like, hey, I've got some contacts for you.
Yeah. Exactly. Boy, oh boy, let me whip out my Rolodex.
So, well, thank you, Leah. Well, we appreciated you being
so
up
much.
Our voice. Right. She'll be in the back corner for anyone.
If you want to talk to her about your loved ones.
So our next guest is Dawn McLean, and she is another friend of the pod. We were introduced to Dawn by AP, who suggested we have her on because she is a paranormal investigator as well as a radio and podcast host. Dawn has been a paranormal investigator for about 17 years. She hosts an entertainment talk radio show on MyTalk 107.1 in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and is the host of a couple of podcasts. She would rather be a vampire than a werewolf.
Yes.
Dawn is a gamer, left-handed.
Me too.
Pretty weird. A former skydiver. I didn't make that up. and recently started seeing dead people.
Yeah.
Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
Why would you rather be a vampire than a werewolf? I'm just curious.
This is like an icebreaker question that
it's
I ask
really good.
Anybody on the air if I interview them, even like Nicholas Sparks or someone like that, and they go, and so I want to know if people would rather be the type that has no control over. Like, if you're a werewolf, you transform.
You go way deep on this.
you transform and you don't have control over your rage. And, you know, like you're running around just crazy. Or do you want to stalk people and live forever and, like, you know, find your victims and then turn them into what you are? This sounds like a narcissist to me now,
like
that I say it out loud.
But then if you're a vampire, you'd have to watch everybody you love die if you didn't turn them into a vampire.
I was going
to
say, some of that could be at your own hand.
I mean, I don't think
you can fly. I mean, I'm trying to turn you.
Okay, but based
here.
On
not like that, but
some people's.
Yeah.
I mean, have you
Stephanie
watched Hotel?
Myers, they don't fly. They just
do not
sparkle.
Get her into Twilight again.
Oh, God, no, we're not going to start talking about Twilight. We'll never get out of here.
Yeah, I
best movie ever.
Oh God!
So it's just a fun thing to test people's temperature.
Haters gonna hate.
I personally love the Hotel Transylvania movies.
Good.
Blah blah blah. I do not say
blah blah blah.
Love those too.
Okay,
yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
What did Nicholas Sparks say?
Nicholas Sparks said a werewolf, and then I tried to turn him. Onto the idea of being a vampire.
Get it? Turn him?
So there is a right answer to this question.
I guess so, now that I talk it out.
It's fantastic.
No, but some people have really great arguments for wanting to be werewolves.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, and some of the literature, depending on the author, does lend to the more that you're a werewolf, the more you can control it.
Right.
So if you were a young werewolf, yes, you would be tied to the moon. But as you get older and more mature as a werewolf, you could theoretically like control when you turn.
Yeah. So we're just going into True Blood now.
No, not necessarily. Other books I've read have had the same thing.
Yes. Other books, not mentioned. So you have a story for us?
Sure.
About your paranormal experiences?
Absolutely. Right. Well, just in general, I want to say that I'm with Twin Cities Paranormal Society. Like you said, we're a scientific team, which sounds like, how can that be scientific? But we do measure our results based on, you know, a voice recordings, what we get on our meters, our EMF meters and things like that, and temperature changes. So we do reports for businesses, homes, you know, we're nonprofit, so we'll come over for free and spend time in your home just to see what we catch, because people have a lot of thoughts and feelings and fear. So we really want to help people get to a place where maybe they know who this is. We have a librarian on our team who does a lot of historical research on the property. We have a ex-police officer who can get into records that, not on the police's dime, he wants to say. Right. But sure, he knows how to look through records as well.
Cool.
So we have a lot of people who have that kind of experience. My personal stories, since I've been doing this for so long, we don't use what happens to me in a part of our reports. But if it leads us down a path and it makes sense, then, you know, then we'll get into investigating in the way that we do. I think the first time I started to see people, this all happened after the pandemic, and I got very sick with COVID, like fever for 21 days with Tylenol, like 102. Like, I was seeing, oh my gosh, just like night fever, like couldn't turn off weird things that were coming to me. And then I went into a depression, and then I started to get counseling, and I came out of the depression.
Good.
And then I started to see in my mind's eye a people, and I would get a name. And so the first time that happened, his name was like Jebediah, and he had on a long coat and a brown suit, looked old timey. And a mustache. And I happened to be going to a psychic fair that day, and I had signed up for a couple of people to do readings for me. And I just was like, I'll just ask them, you know, like, hey, you know, what do you think this is? And I said to a lovely woman, I was like, this guy came to me. His name was Jebediah. He looked like this. And she pushed the table back and she said, my uncle's name is Jebediah. We share the same birthday. He's my great, great, great uncle. And I'm writing a book about him.
Oh, my.
Wow.
And so I was like, well, I feel like you should be paying me right now. I mean, so that was the first thing that was like, what? How did I do that? Yeah. You know, the thing with me is that it is not consistent. I could never do what Leah does because I don't have things coming to me all the time. Or, you know, I mean, how could I? I don't know. But maybe I'll take some classes with her. And
I was just going to say,
if you want to.
If you want to.
I also have something that I feel like I picked up at an investigation. Normally, I do say, like, you cannot follow me home. You have to stay here when I leave an investigation. Sometimes I forget, and I don't even know if that works to say I only want to bring in light and love and, you know, spirits that are not inhuman, I would say.
Yeah, does that work?
So what she just said, if you didn't hear off camera, is that sometimes that can work, but you need to know how to work with your spirits too. What is that? What she said in the right direction?
Yeah. I think
I just suddenly forgot. Yes. So I have something that I think follows me, and I talked about this last time.
I was going to ask if he was still around.
I believe so. So most of our evidence come from electronic voice phenomenon, which is known as EVPs. So we always have voice recorders going and cameras that are recording video and sound. And so we will get a lot of voices on our recorders. And so I've been consistently getting the same voice.
Oh.
I do get other voices as well, but I feel like it is indicative to this is coming with me where I go. And I'm kind of over it. Yeah. I'll be honest. Because he's kind of pervy.
Yep.
And so when I'm on camera and I'm bending like over it. To get into my bag,
no. Yep.
You will hear lower.
What a jerk.
And yeah, search it. I'm like, dude, what? Like, come on. That's pretty sure he was, you know, this is a person that used to be alive and maybe pervy in life.
Probably.
You know, I mean, but like, I don't want that around me. And I also, quite frankly, I want to hear from other spirits. Yeah. I want to communicate for the purpose of being in people's homes and businesses. I want to get information. Like, go away right now.
Yeah.
It's like a groupie or something. I don't know what. So I'm not sure. I have sort of an idea of who it could be. Because
do you know where you picked him up?
It could have been a home in Rush City.
Okay.
There was a couple who had a really cool, like, outdoor. Well, it was like a separate garage from their house, and it had like this really cool bar inside. Mm-hmm. It was just such a cool place to watch football and animal heads and everything. And before I went on that investigation, I started seeing a guy in my mind's eye. I got a name.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very new in my experience. Like, I had the Jebediah experience, and then this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd only talked to this lady on the phone. But then when I got to her house, she came out of her garage, and I was like, oh, I saw you in my mind. Like, wow. Oh, that's you. That's your face that I saw. Wow. And then there was someone who were sitting down listening to their story, because this was a preliminary investigation first before we decided to go in.
Okay.
And we listened to all of the activity that had been happening in their house, which she got scratched, heard her name called out, mm-hmm. other things. But I had seen someone in my mind, and he looked like, I'm like, this is going to sound weird, but do you know anyone named Robert? And he kind of looks like the BTK killer. Okay, so that's a terrible thing to say. Like, that guy. I don't remember what his real name is.
Dennis Rader.
Yep.
Dennis Rader. So, balding in the middle, mm-hmm. little glasses that he would look over the top. And so that doesn't mean that someone looks like that is going to be evil. It just means
Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. But they go, what? Like, they're like, Robert. And yeah. And so they get out an album, and it's like, this is my uncle who died. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And his name is Robert, mm-hmm. Bobby.
Oh my God. Wow.
And I'm like, oh, okay. But then that's where it stops for me. I don't have a message.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, great. He wants to say hi. I don't know. Anyway, so we got so many EVPs on that investigation,
mm-hmm.
more than ever before. I mean, this guy was talking and talking, like, just like everything we said. Something that I find interesting is a lot of times spirits will talk to each other about us.
Okay. It
happens very frequently.
Oh.
Yes, they're watching us set up. So we start recording right away. We have something in our hand the minute we enter the door. And, you know, you hear anything from like, they're coming, to like, oh, what's that? Like, we're setting up things that have pretty lights. We just had an EVP from a ghost that said, neat colors, when we turned on our REM pod, you know?
Awesome.
It's like, they're just like hanging out. Sometimes the relationship between the spirits are like, maybe was abusive in life, because mm-hmm. we've had male voices say to female voices, like, she'll start to talk, and then a male voice saying, like, don't say a word.
Oh,
yeah. So it's really weird how these people that I think are stuck in between dimensions or worlds or whatever is out there, they are still trying to work through stuff, and they feel trapped, you know?
Yeah.
And so I used to do clearings for the team, and I've stopped doing that because I don't feel like I can consistently guarantee, mm-hmm. which you never can, but
right.
it's just like not what our team is about. It's scientific. So I'm going to ask them to contact Leah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like, I need to just get people in contact with her, you know, and hopefully she'll be willing to, you know, help our team.
Clearings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah. And it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just that I don't want people to have hope. I don't charge them, but like mm-hmm. the reason why is we don't charge them is because we're a nonprofit and I have no guarantee it's going to work. I have a 70% chance rate of success, but to me, I just, you know.
Yeah, nope, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. But
so how did you get into being an investigator? Like, what did that look like for you?
I was a, well, I've been a broadcaster since I was 19. So when I lived in another state, I was actually at a live broadcast for a Halloween haunted house event. And a paranormal team just wanted to like have a booth there and say hi to people and say, hey, if you want us to come. And so I talked to them and they were like, hey, you want to come on an investigation with us? I'm like, sure. And then I was like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I really like this. You know, there's an adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. You have like, oh, there's so many things. And now it's developed into my real desire to help people figure out what's going on in their house. And especially if they have kids,
yeah,
like making sure that they're not scared anymore and just teaching them levels of protection
yeah.
where, you know, I will give them something physical, like here's a crystal, this pink, you know, crystal, just even if it's just magical thinking, I think that that helps kids yep. and, you know, make a bubble around yourself, yeah. a bubble of light and, you know.
Mm-hmm. My son is... For the past, I don't know, year or so, he'll say he sees ghosts and mommy, there's a ghost in my room and
yeah,
there's a ghost under my bed and there's a ghost in the basement. And anytime there's darkness, there's a ghost in the kitchen. So I've like, I ask him, is it a boy or a girl? And I don't like, you know, say that's not real or it's not there.
Yeah, but to shut it down.
I'm also wondering like. You know, and the girls brought it up too. Could he be saying it just to get a reaction? Because I engage with him because even though I'm not like, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, I'm yeah. asking him about it. Like, what does it look like? Where is it? And, you know, yeah. what's it doing? And do you is it a boy or a girl? Is it nice or mean? So wondering that too.
Yeah, I wonder. And I, you know, we have people that encourage it in their kids. Mm-hmm. And I've seen sometimes where I'm like, maybe that kid just likes the attention, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
or they know, thing. He knows what you do for this. He doesn't know about the
he's
podcast.
Four,
oh.
So, okay. No, yeah, I don't. And we try not to talk about, like, I don't talk about ghosts around.
Good.
Him.
Yeah.
You know, he watches Scooby-Doo, but not.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, yeah. But, oh, let's talk about ghosts, my 4-year-old child.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that.
And some people don't really know. Not to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I see that, you know, like they really, really want their kid to be psychic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, maybe you should let their brains mature a little bit yeah. more before we get into that. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah, we don't need to all be Haley Joel Osment.
So. No. What was his name? I couldn't think of it earlier from The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I got you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to say that I love what you guys do.
Oh,
gals do because you're strong women in, you know, a medium of broadcasting that you've decided to do this and get together and make something happen. And it's just, I want to see more women in, you know, media doing these things like this. So I just always thought, I just love you guys.
Aww, thank you.
Yes.
We love you too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I listen to you and Bradley every day, you know, noon to three.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, because I have my structure. I'm like, okay, this time means I'm halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm almost done with
your
my day.
Yes. Yes. We love it when we're with people at work. So,
yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And you are going to be involved with your show.
That was so funny
I
yesterday.
To this morning.
I butchered her last name because it was just thrown on.
It was just slow
and weird.
I actually didn't hear you say my. It's Piersack. So.
Piersack.
Yeah.
I think I said Piersiak.
Close enough. It's fine.
I mean, she's been called worse.
I have been.
By me.
You haven't seen when I was playing soccer and what I got called. So. No, it kind of funny. So Dawn is on my talk and they had their Project Down and Dirty, which is their big fundraiser that they do every year. This year was Project Volunteer. So they were at the Ronald McDonald House doing mm-hmm. a lot of volunteer for the last 3 days. And each show has a different charity that they're raising money for. And so Dawn and Bradley were raising money for the Children's Cancer Research Fund. And so yesterday I just kind of heard like the $100 and it'll give you a chance for this. And I was like, I'll put it in, but that won't happen. And then at the end of the show, I hear my name and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
What just happened? Because I wasn't sitting next to my desk. I was putting something away and I hear Dawn go, oh, that's my friend. She's got a paranormal podcast. And I totally just butchered her name. And I was like, and then shortly after that, I got the email. So yeah, I will be joining Dawn at some point here.
Yeah. So
for cool. One of the segments.
So we have a show within our show. Yep. It's a Inception. Blind item podcast. Yeah. Inception. Yes. So you're going to be on our YouTube channel, The Blinded Fantastic. By the Item. And if you want to donate to the Children's Cancer Research Fund, you can do that through the weekend on our website, mytalk1071.com.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know you guys were raising money specifically for a very rare type of cancer, but it still affects 250 children a year. And it is, it's rhabdo something. And I know the rhabdo part because when Bradley was talking about the rhabdomyolysis.
Yes. And this is rhabdomyosarcoma.
There we go. Which has the coma. Sarcoma is the cancer part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's very little research. And this is going to go specifically to this fund that they know exactly what they're going to do with this money. Oh, it seems like an intangible, like, oh, this is just a... No, but it's like we need $75,000 to have this specific scientist and doctor do this research, and then it will help generations.
Yep.
You know, so sorry, didn't mean to take up part of your time. I guess since it's about charity, it's okay. Yeah. So if you ever want to like get a hold of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society, if you put that into Google, like spellitout.com, that is not us. It was a Russian porn site for a while.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. I'm sorry, but we let our...
That out. If that's your jam.
We let our URL lapse. So
all the endings to that sentence, I would have never
expected.
Sorry to all the kids listening out there.
Yeah.
Now it's like...
Well, there goes our family podcast on.
Then it turned into like a haunted hayride website. So anyway, tcpsmn.org or .com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you.
So glad you could be here today.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Give it up for Dawn.
Oh.
More whooping.
More woo girls.
And with that, I will also be heading out. I have a family wedding to head and celebrate this afternoon. So thank you, ladies.
Thanks for joining us for the tiny clip.
Leah and Dawn, thank you for that. And thank you, all of you, for being here in person. And
yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your day, ladies.
All right.
We'll wait till she leaves and then we'll all start talking about her.
I knew it.
I knew. Dang it. I forgot to wait till she leaves. Oh.
She turned my mic off already. No.
I just muted it for a sec.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a great rest of the show.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Well, this is where we just set aside time for ghost stories. So if anybody wants to tell a ghost story, I know there's at least a couple people out here who have them. Who would like to go? Carrie, would you like to come up first?
Come on down.
I have many different ghost stories. And when she mentioned about an animal, I thought of my cat.
Yeah.
I am a cat lady. And
finally,
Kitty, her name, you know, her vet name was Clover, but Kitty died in 2001.
Mm.
And she stayed in my house for at least 10 years, maybe 15. And I wasn't the only one who saw her. My ex who lived with me would see her walking around. She was this very small black and white cat after she died. And she died in my arms in my bed. She had kidney failure. But every time we would see her walking around, she didn't have a head. So the joke was that when they cremated her, they didn't put her head ashes into.
Oh, no.
But then I stopped seeing her. And the only thing I could remember was I gave the kitty teapot that her ashes were in to my mom because my mom wants to get buried with her, even though I keep telling her she was my cat.
Yeah.
So during the riots and everything, because I live in the South, I took some stuff to my mom's house and she has Kitty's ashes. And ever since then, I haven't seen her walking around.
Oh, wow.
My cat after her, Morrissey, he would also see her. And one time I was telling a story and my ex was in bed and my cat, Morrissey, was on the bed. And all of a sudden I went, and he goes, you just saw Kitty, didn't you? So I knew I wasn't insane because he never met Kitty, and he saw her also.
Oh, my God.
And the only thing that Morrissey did, he died in 2019, was after he died and I had no other cat, he jumped up on the radiator. And you know how there's that little metal flap? My house is over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. I heard that smack, and then I heard him scratching on the cat tower.
Oh.
Which I'm kind of bummed because he was the love of my life, and he hasn't done anything other than that.
Yeah.
But
maybe you could talk to Leah and she could maybe entice him to come out.
I have gone to an animal psychic before.
Yeah. What did they say?
I don't remember. I got COVID brain.
That's
and
fair.
Then the
That's
other
fair.
Things that happen are the man who built my house, he used to walk around the house, but he did so more when I was having contractors come over to remodel the attic.
Oh, he was checking their work.
Yeah, because he built the house.
Sure.
And his granddaughter sold my mom the house. So it's only been our two families for over 100 years.
Wow.
But I knew he wasn't bad. And I knew it was him, even though I've never seen a picture of him. I don't know his name, but I can identify that. And ever since he knew that I'm like fixing the house and taking care of it, he's fine.
Yeah.
I have one more creepy one.
Yes, please.
So I do Airbnb in my teeny tiny house, and I've had a bunch of renters. And this kid was not evil in any way, shape, or form, but he had an entity attached to him. And he didn't have a job, and he was kind of a gothy kid, and he had depression. And this happened maybe three times. And he woke me up at like 12:30 at night, and he's like, I can't breathe. You have to drive me to the ER. Well, this entity basically caused a tumor in his throat and he almost died and they put him into surgery. And this kid was maybe 21 years old.
Oh my God.
And I think it was, I can't remember if he was there or if he had just moved out, and I was totally awake and I was in my bedroom and I saw this black, if you want to say smoke or entity, that was probably the size of a person floating down the hallway from his room to my room. And I almost shit a brick.
Yep.
Because I feel things, I see things, like you said, with the mind's eye, but not physically. And that was the first time.
Goodbye.
And it was so effing creepy. And
that would have been his house now.
Well, I was raised very Catholic. And so I said the name Jesus Christ and I prayed the Our Father and I said, you're not welcome here. You have to leave. And then I saged the hell out of my entire house. And so I try to remember every time a guest leaves that I sage the room. I haven't been good about it, but that was the only scary thing that happened there.
That's pretty scary.
And then just light switches on and off.
Yeah.
The light switch flicking where I can hear it. And I was on the couch. This happened a couple of months ago. Very distinctive, very loud.
So you actually hear the switch.
I hear the switch. And I got up finally. I wasn't really scared, but I got up and looked and the light wasn't even on.
Right.
And nobody was in the house. And it was on the other side of the wall. And it was the Airbnb room.
Okay.
And then the bathroom light after I turn it off will go back on again. But I don't feel that there's anything evil in the house. So I don't really
That's what they want you to think.
But when I do feel someone staring at me from the doorway in my bedroom, I've been told you're supposed to say, this is my room. You're not welcome. So I say all my kitties can stay here. I just have one that's alive, but all the other ones can too. But no one else is allowed in my room.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway. That seems to be working. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel as watched as I used to.
Yeah.
Because I was told that I was.
Oh, yeah.
By a medium. And
that's just rude.
It's creepy. We feel like, you know, everything is private besides, you know, satellites and whatnot. But even the other dimensions, the spirits are watching.
Come on.
No privacy.
Yeah. That is kind of
Hopefully
weird.
They're not in our bathrooms and that's not interesting.
I know. Like,
anymore.
Let
that's
me shower by myself. Yeah. Like, just go away.
What I've been told is that they don't think like that.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, things that we think are embarrassing don't even faze them and they're not thinking
about it. Oh, so what? I'm not good enough for them now?
Jeez. Unless they're pervy, like.
Oh, that's true. I don't want pervs.
Anyway.
No.
Well, I have many more, but that's let somebody else come
all
up.
All right. Thank
tell
you
a story.
So much.
Does anybody else have a story that they
Anyone?
Want to tell?
Yeah.
Okay. Got one.
Come on down.
All right. Welcome, Terry.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
This is so fun. It was my 50th birthday yesterday, and I love
Happy
it.
Happy birthday. Woo!
It's like a treat.
Treat.
Super treat.
Birthday yesterday and you're walking around today at 1:30 in the afternoon.
It's a miracle.
Good for you. Good for you.
So I can tell a couple. I have a recent one it's local that would be kind of cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Two locals. Let's do two locals. First of all, I will say I don't see ghosts. I'm in more of the energy feeling realm. So my grandmother on the Sicilian side of my family was clairvoyant. She knew things before they happened. A lot of people just thought she was kind of a worrywart. Quick story about her. So my parents were 20 years apart in age. My father served in World War II and was in the Navy. And he actually kind of followed his brother into the war because he wasn't, his brother was 19 months older, my Uncle Frank, and he went into the Air Force. And my dad joined the Navy and had to get permission from my grandparents to go because he wasn't quite 18. So he went, served in the Pacific, and he got injured in a boat. They were out listening for bombs in the water. And a couple days before he was injured stateside, my grandmother had a nightmare that something had happened to him. And she woke up from the nightmare and said something, you know, something happened to Guy, something's wrong. And of course, the rest of the family was like, you're worrying too much, you know. And then a day later, they got a telegram that he had been injured and he was coming back stateside.
Wow.
So, yeah. And that's just one of many. I mean, she just knew a lot of things. But I've found in my half a century of living that I, too, know things before they happen. I knew, like, the last time I saw my father before he died, I knew that was the last time I was going to see him. And I had no explanation for that whatsoever. So I feel things more than I see them. So in the realm of ghosts, I live in Uptown now, but I used to live in Longfellow. And the house there was built in 1910. So it's pretty old. It was like a family home. And I knew when we bought it that the woman who lived there with her husband, her husband had died. She died in the home before we bought the home. So I knew that before we had bought the home. So anyway, fast forward, you know, I have three children and my children were little in the house. And my youngest daughter was about, I want to say she was about like almost three, maybe two, not completely talking a lot, you know, so maybe two, we'll say. And one day we're sitting in the living room and the house has a dining room area. And she, all of a sudden, she said to me, Gamma, Gamma. And my mother she calls her Nona. So my mother doesn't go by Grandma. She was saying Gamma. I said, Gamma, what do you mean? Nona's not here. Because my mom lives in another state. And then she said, no, Gamma. And she's pointing to the corner of the dining room. And so I have to think that
why do they always come to corners?
I don't know.
My son, when he was a baby, would always point at corners and smile. And I'm like, you're creeping me out, but why are they always in the corners? Leah, ask him that. Be like, there's couches, there's chairs, you could sit.
I was just going to say that. Maybe they don't want to intrude. Maybe they just want to be on the side.
That makes sense. All right.
Want to be discreet.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, she was pointing to the corner. And that corner also, a few times, like I want to say a few years after that, my dogs would randomly bark at that corner for no reason. There's nothing there. I mean, I can't see a thing, but they know that something's there. So, yeah, so that's one. That's one. More recent one, I went to Stillwater for just a fun day. This was like, was that last Saturday or Friday? Last Friday. Last Friday, okay, we went up to Stillwater just for a fun day, and we went to a pizza place called Melt Pizza, which, if you like Detroit style pizza,
not a sponsor, but you
not
can
a sponsor,
be.
Not a sponsor at all.
Anyway,
I'm saying this of my own volition. Anyway, they're in an old building, and you know when I go in old buildings, I don't assume they're haunted, right?
I do.
You do? Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. But the restrooms in the pizza place are upstairs. Okay. And they've got I think they do like parties upstairs or something like that. Anyway, I'm walking up the stairs to go to the restroom and I get almost to the top and there's a window at the top and I got this panicked feeling that didn't match my surroundings or my mood. And so whenever that happens, I'm like, uh-huh, that's not okay. That's something else that doesn't have anything to do with me or what's happening around me. So I just kind of breathed through it, you know, did my thing. I came back downstairs and my boyfriend was with me, and I said, if you go to the restroom, I want you to go up there and tell me if you feel, if it's got a weird energy up there. So he goes up there and he comes back and he's like, yeah, it's kind of weird when you get up there. So I'm like, we got to ask the waitress what's the history of this place? Because I really didn't know. And so when she came back, we asked her, and she said, well, we don't like to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, here we go. We don't like to talk about it, but this place was a brothel. Mm-hmm. And it supposedly there was a woman who jumped out of a window on the second floor. And I thought, wow, that really tracks, because it was right in front of this window, like almost to the top, that I just started to get this really like, it didn't scare me, but it was like a panicked feeling. So I think that was.
Yeah. You were feeling her.
I was feeling her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, those are my wow. two ghost stories.
Cool. Right. Those are good ones. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This was so fun. Thanks for having
good.
Me.
Of course.
Thank you.
For some reason, the audio cut out here, but it was when we asked if anybody else wanted to speak, and a gentleman raised his hand, and he happened to be Terry's boyfriend that was just talked about in the story before. His name is Jeff, and now he's going to come up and join us.
And yeah, I can concur. Something went down up there.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Monterey, California,
And
I was waiting tables in a restaurant that was the first firehouse in Monterey. And late at night, you would hear things close and move. And in the morning, things would be pulled away from the wall and unplugged. And then some nights sitting down at the bar, doing our side work, having a drink, with number of people, we saw someone moving down the stairs. It turns out that the first fire chief died of a heart attack in that building when an alarm went off, Chief Parker. And he's a very friendly ghost. He makes sure it's fire safety. Like, all the stuff that happens is all fire safety. Stuff gets unplugged, stuff, you know, it's like, wow, he's just making sure this space doesn't burn down.
Oh, nice.
And
like, come on, guys.
Exactly.
Get it together.
Exactly. And I've had other people witness, and then my brother worked there years later, and he called me. He's like, did that shit ever happen to you while you were like the closing person? You were one of two people there, and now things are moving and things are closing. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Chief Parker. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And then I have one more.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Another restaurant experience. This was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And the restaurant was a house, all these different rooms and everything. And down the stairs, everyone has seen this entity move up and down and around. And we turned to find out that right before it became a restaurant, someone one winter morning started the car in their garage, and she went upstairs and fell asleep and died.
And died of
carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh,
and so,
no.
Yeah, so both of them. And that entity just moved around. Like, you would see them. You didn't feel anything. Nothing else really, you know, yes, it got chilly when she moved through.
Oh, okay.
Like you felt that. Never, like,
spot, yeah.
Yeah, and like, in the first few times you blow it off because you're sitting around drinking, playing a guitar at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe we're seeing things, but it happened enough that we're like, wow, that one's there too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jeff. Okay. Anybody else have one before we have a couple to tell? But if anybody wants to come up, Greg, just kidding. That's my
Greg.
Husband. He's a skeptic. See, we refer to him as Skeptic Greg on the podcast. He's sitting with Flip Phone Jody, who's also a skeptic. That's the skeptic
table. That's the skeptic
back there.
Table. Sorry, we still love you.
That's right.
Mostly.
All right. We have a couple of stories that are from our patrons that we have told on the show before. And these two are kind of related.
Okay.
This is patron Heather. Her name is Heather, not to be confused with Heather, who's sitting at that table, who is my co-host on my other podcast called Volsteadland, which we can talk about later. But This is Heather, our patron. She was also on our show one time telling her story about how she spent the night doing a paranormal investigation at the Villisca Axe murder house. So that's cool too. That's episode 22 if you want to go back and listen to that. But this is the story that Heather submitted to us.
All right. I suffered severe nightmares all my childhood, even into adulthood, after being treated for
non-cataplexy narcolepsy.
What she said. I don't remember dreams anymore, and the doctor told me narcoleptics typically have very vivid dreams and lots of nightmares. When I was 13 going on 14, I was startled awake from a bad dream. This particular dream had me crying in my sleep, and I could remember knowing that my maternal grandfather, my mom's dad, had died. I was sitting up, having woken up so harshly from this dream when the phone rang, and my dad answered the phone. I then got up and sat on the stairs listening in as I already knew what the call was about. Dad was crying and hung up the phone. I asked Dad what was wrong, and he said, "Your grandpa passed away tonight." I didn't cry at that point because I had already been crying when I found out in my dream. I'm convinced I got a message from him in my dreams. Probably.
Yep. And then Lynn's story is, she's another patron of ours. Hers is similar, related. And this also involves the death of a loved one. Lynn, just for reference, lives in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's international.
International.
Yeah. Now we got a woo guy.
A woo guy. Okay. She says, I do have odd experiences. I've had clairvoyant dreams for years. So here we go. The 2nd of January, 2020, around 7:20 p.m., I know the time and date because I had a phone call telling me that my mother had passed away after a long time dealing with Alzheimer's disease, nearly 10 years. After having a regretful, mixed with sadness and relief cry, she had suffered for so long, my wife, Liz, and I sat looking at each other, quietly talking and trying to be grown up because, of course, arrangements have to be made, decisions, etc. And then phone calls to family and friends. You know how you need to sit quietly because suddenly you have lost both parents and it's all down to you now. In front of me, about 3 feet away, a small figure walked from my right through the wall across my path. It was small, I'd say about 2 to 3 feet. It appeared to be dark in the middle, but around the edges, it was misty and blurred. It was walking or floating towards the left-hand living room wall. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't goosebumpy. It stopped and looked back from where it had come from, and I got the feeling it was impatient and trying to get something else to move faster. Another figure came along the same route, but slower, and this figure seemed to be wrapped in something. And it was moving slower. It was small, dark in the center, and misty around the edges. They both walked into the left-hand wall, not together, the first figure led. The figures were both short, small-like, and a mist, but solid in the middle. As this was happening, I looked up at Liz. She smiled at me, so I assumed she had seen it too. The whole thing was calm, not scary, just odd. And then she says, this is the first time I've told this. So I asked Liz, did you see that at the time? And she said, no, she hadn't. My feeling was, this is her again. My feeling was that this thing was leading my mother's spirit. Like I said, I wasn't afraid or spooked at all. The place in the wall that they came from is always cold. So has anybody had any kind of feelings like that? Dreams about somebody who had passed that? Carrie? Do you want to come tell it? Okay. Cool. I had a feeling somebody would.
I was just thinking of my aunt. She and my uncle lived in a really old house in Watertown, Wisconsin. He's still there. She died of breast cancer, but didn't tell anyone she was dying. I knew she was from dreams she was sending me. But they lived in an old doctor's office. But it was just a really old house, so a lot of people had died there. Mm. And so she could see orbs. And I was always jealous because I never saw any. So one time that I stopped by their house, and we just sat at the kitchen table and talk. And she's like, oh, I waited long enough. I was waiting for you to say whether you saw some orbs or not. And I'm like, damn it, I haven't seen any. And she was like, oh, there's been a lot of activity, and your uncle has seen them too. And so the day she died, I saw three orbs in my bedroom. So I know that was her, and I've never seen any since.
Wow.
And her best friend at her funeral told me that it was either three or four turkey vultures showed up in her front yard, and they've never been there before. And she knew it was her, her brother, and her parents that had passed.
Oh my God. I just got a chill.
Because she was funny, and she's like, she knew that she sent them.
Yeah.
Vultures
are messengers, I believe.
What are?
Leah would know vultures. Oh, I think our messages.
Turkey vultures.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one I was thinking of? I had a premonition. I often do it. This has been at least three people that I knew were going to die from dreams. And so my experience is they send me pictures of fun times that we had together. And these are people that I never dream about, didn't think about, you know, elders, my oldest friend's mom. I just told my friends this. She was sending me pictures of this birthday party that she threw for me, and I never had dreams about her. And I just all these really warm feelings. And I called up my friend and she started crying, and I told her, and she was in the hospital with her, and she died soon after that. And I didn't know that she was that sick.
Oh, wow.
But it's just, it's a knowing when they start sending you the dreams that that's just their way of like preparing you. And the same thing happened with my aunt because we were really close.
Wow.
And she and her nephew had this ghostly face appear to them the day before we found out my cousin was killed in Iraq.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, so that was pretty crazy.
A lot of signs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Heather?
Oh. I mean, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, sure. Of course you can.
Top shelf.
For those who didn't hear, Heather just asked if she could buy us a drink.
Top shelf.
No,
top shelf.
It doesn't have to be top
kidding.
Shelf.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Oh, we do have one more story from Zoe, our patron that we read the first story about with her
you
little
read
her
that
son.
Because I think read the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
It's your turn.
I don't want to talk too much.
I've been talking a lot.
Okay.
It's almost like we have a podcast.
Almost like we like talking and listening to ourselves speak. Zoe, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but as we were talking about Lynn being from Wales, Zoe is in Yorkshire, England. So we are international, you could say.
Also, earlier this week, I asked her if she calls English cucumbers just cucumbers. They do.
Yeah.
I wanted to know because they were talking. I was watching a TikTok and they were cutting up English cucumbers.
You were watching
it. I was watching a TikTok. And so I messaged her and I'm like, do you guys call English cucumbers cucumbers? She goes, yeah, we do. So if you were wondering, they just call them cucumbers, not English cucumbers.
Yeah. What do they call our cucumbers? So they don't have them.
I didn't ask.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'll probably American.
They call them what?
Girthy.
They are girthy compared to the English ones, yes. And we're still talking about cucumbers.
What cute? Oh, you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Zoe's story, her second story. And this is, these are both from this home that she just moved into recently, like maybe 6 months ago at the most.
Yeah.
And this is about her and her son, Rain, who's just a baby.
Mm-hmm. He was born in January. So
okay.
He is.
Yep. He's just a
10 months. He's so cute.
He's a cutie. We gave him a shirt like ours with our podcast on it. And we have a picture of him in it and a little onesie. It's real cute. Anyway, so this is Zoe. So me and Rain were the only ones in the house at the time of this happening. First thing that happened was it sounded like our front door was being knocked on, so I go to check to see who's there. Nobody's there. Which is strange, but maybe the kids on the street were playing knock-knock door run. And I had to look that up because I'd never heard of that knock, knock, door, yeah, run.
Is yeah. that like Ding Dong
It's their
ditch?
Version of yeah. Ding Dong Ditch. Yeah. Yep. And so then, okay, so she said, I leave it and I come back in. I sit down and I carry on playing with Rain. Then I hear walking around upstairs in Daryl's room. Daryl's her partner. And I know he's not home. So who's walking around? I'm thinking it could be the old guy's spirit in the house. You know, this is an older guy that is a spirit that she sees in the house a lot. And she has told us that before. She said, I don't bother investigating as I don't want to upset him. Then I hear babe being shouted really loud, almost like my partner was right next to me, but it didn't sound right, like slightly distorted. I'm a little freaked out by now, so I ring Daryl on my phone and ask him how long him and the kids are going to be. While I'm on the phone, it happens again, the voice shouting, babe, and even Daryl heard it on the phone. He said, why does it sound like I'm there shouting at you for whatever reason? And I said, I don't know, love. It's happened before I rang you as well. I end the call and I start using my cleansing prayer. And in the middle of it, all the doors in the house start shaking heavily.
Oh, my gosh. How is she still there?
I know. She's not scared of this stuff.
I know she isn't.
She's a medium also.
Would just be shitting left and right. Just shit coming from everywhere.
You should just live on the toilet.
I should just live on the toilet. You're right. Just carry it around with me. I think they call that a porta potty.
Yeah, they do. Zoe says, this whole thing was calm, not scary, just odd.
No, I'm sorry. Shaking doors. Zoe, we need to talk because that's scary.
Yeah, that is. So that is Zoe's story. Let me see.
The whole thing was calm and not scary.
Sorry, there is a little bit more left. She said, I carried on with the prayer and the door stopped shaking. I started my sage cleanse next because the air in the house felt thick with negativity. Gladly, it stopped once I cleansed the entire house and the doors. And it's been a while since anything else happened now. But it was freaky.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I would plant a sage bush just right in the middle of my house.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not how planting bushes works, but...
You do need soil, I believe.
That's minor detail.
Okay. We do have a couple more stories to read if nobody else has one. Does anybody else have a story they want?
Anybody else want to come on up?
Perfect. All right. Great. Terry's coming back up.
Okay. So I lived in New York City for 12 years, and 10 of those were spent in Jackson Heights, Queens, and I had a two-bedroom apartment. And
fancy,
I know. I had roommate too, so you know, not that fancy. But anyway, at the time I had two cats, and I've always heard that animals can see, just like little kids and animals can kind of naturally are more open to the paranormal, and so they can sense things, feel things, maybe even see things. So the way my apartment was set up is you would come through the front door, the kitchen would be on the right, and then it would open up into the living room. And then there was like kind of a hallway, bedroom one, bathroom, bedroom two in the back. So the hallway, you know, not super long, but a hallway, decent sized hallway. And more than one time, my cats would be, you know, milling about. And I had one cat, her name was Kasha. And Kasha was a talker, so she talked to the living. And apparently she also talked to the dead. So Kasha was in the hallway and she was walking, and then all of a sudden her back dipped down like someone was petting her, like across. And she looked up at nothing and meowed like specifically at something. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange, you know. And then I just kind of forgot about it, actually. Sometime later, I met one of my neighbors that lived in the hallway, and she was an older woman, much older. And when I say older, I'm talking like the kind of woman who had the pristine living room with the plastic. On the furniture, right? And she had lived in the building for a long time, and she mentioned to me that she had known the old woman who lived in my apartment before I lived there. And I said, oh, that's lovely. And she said, oh, she was a lovely woman, and she loved animals. And I went, Ding, ding.
Yep.
She's still in there because she pets my cats. Aww. She pets my cats. So it's kind of a sweet story. She's definitely a sweet spirit. Never got a bad feeling.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how my cat felt about it, though. So, yeah. Nice. So that's my story about
cats. I love all the cat stories because usually AP and Amy are big dog people. And like, I'm not saying dogs are not great, but cats are better. So thank you. Show some love for the cats. So I'm really digging all the cat people here.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm outnumbered.
Yeah. Usually, yeah.
It's very
sad. I like both. I like them both. I'm a dog person now, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I went to the dark side. I'm sorry.
We had a moment and now it's.
I mean, like cats though, too.
I like other people's dogs. I just don't want my own dogs. Yeah.
That's how I feel about children. It's fine.
It's fine. That's
totally makes sense.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Do we have any other stories? I have a little, it's not really a story, but when she was talking about the cats seeing things and feeling things, when I lived at an apartment down here on Hennepin and 26, I'm pretty sure there was something in that apartment because I would come home and the water would be running, the faucet would be running.
So not only is there a spirit, they're driving up your water bill?
I know.
These spirits.
And I did live with a cat, Misha, and she would occasionally just be like she could be startled by something. She'd stare at the wall. She'd look around. She would bat at things like she was playing with something that I couldn't see. I don't want to say it wasn't there. I couldn't see it. She never seemed scared. Mm-hmm. She was just playful, just playing with it. And then there was one time at that same apartment. This is not cat related, but I was sitting on the couch.
Well, then we don't care.
Okay, never mind.
Just kidding. Just kidding. It's a joke.
It's just a joke.
I'm a silly
Megan's
goose.
The funny one.
I'm the funny one.
So I'm sitting there watching TV and I've got the remote control on the coffee table and the remote control very quickly slid across the floor or slid across the table and onto the floor. Nobody was touching it.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that freaked me out a bit.
Yeah, that would freak me out too. But it doesn't take much to freak me out as we've discovered.
Yeah. Yep.
Anybody else want to come up and share a spooky story?
Category.
Books. Oh, Wendy.
Do you have a category? Or do you want to have a story? Okay.
Come on up.
It's small. She's doing this. It's small. Small. Come on up. This is our friend Wendy.
Wendy.
Thanks for coming, Wendy.
And we appreciate it.
Nice to sound here, too.
So, first of all, my small story is... Am I on the right?
Yeah, you're on the right mic. Okay. Hold it a little closer to you.
So it's not so much my personal experience. It's the house I grew up in. It's my grandparents. So I was raised by my grandparents. And the house I grew up in was built by my great-grandparents. And everyone in my family has had experiences in this house. And like about the staircase going from the second floor to the first floor. Every grandchild that ever lived in that house always felt like someone is chasing them downstairs.
I hate that.
The worst.
We never really felt like there was something, but there was something.
But there was.
There was something. So we always ran down these stairs as fast as we could.
Yeah.
Because we always felt like something was chasing us. And it was a family phenomenon that my great-grandfather was a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
And my great-grandmother was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
They both died before we were born.
Okay.
I was the second oldest grandchild, and so she died. My great-grandmother died the year I was born. So I never met her. She died before I was born. But everybody in the family knows she was horrible.
Mm.
Great-grandma gross.
Yeah.
Horrible person.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never personally had experiences, but I had, like, all my cousins all talked about this, but I have a reoccurring dream about said house.
Okay.
The house was kind of like, because of the times, you know, like post, like before it was built in the 1800s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the house was divided into like the main floor was where my great grandparents lived. And the second floor was where my grandparents raised their family. But since my grandmother died before I was born, I lived there on the first floor. But there was a kitchen on the second floor where my grandparents raised their family in that kitchen. There was always something about that kitchen that always frightened me, but I never really knew why.
Sure.
I still have a reoccurring dream about that kitchen.
Interesting. Like, are these scary dreams?
Like a scary dream. Okay. But I have this dream, like before my grandfather died when I was 11, and my grandmother was still, she died about maybe 15 years ago. But I would have this dream about my grandfather being in the basement and not being able to speak to my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And I would have to go between the floors to communicate messages between the two of them. But when my grandmother died, that dream stopped. I no longer had that dream.
Because he could talk to her himself now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that house. Mm-hmm. And I have this ongoing thing that houses are not just buildings. Houses contain the spirits of the people who live in them.
Sure. Sure.
And people in my family, have gone back and looked, at the houses sold many years ago. And my relatives have gone back and spoken to the people that live in the house currently. And there's a room, like we used to experience all the time, like door slamming in the middle of the night. That was a childhood thing that I didn't really think it was a dream thing because I never really believed in ghosts.
Sure.
But my aunts went back to the house and talked to the current residents. And they're saying that there's a room in the house that if they shut the door in the middle of the night, it slams.
Mm.
And so my aunts were like, just don't shut that door.
Yeah. That's like saying.
That was their answer to it. Just don't shut
Well, I mean,
door.
It's like saying it only hurts when I do this. And it's like, then I don't do that.
While I was sitting there with my husband, I text my aunt and I'm like, should I talk about this? And she's like, absolutely. My aunt lives in, hasn't lived in the house in a long time. And she's like, absolutely. It's a true story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That door slams.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks it's my great grandmother slamming the door.
Coming around being nasty.
Yeah.
She was just a bitch.
Yeah.
Great-grandma Gross was a bitch.
We all know it.
Yeah. Everybody has a great-grandma Gross who was a bitch. And it's funny because the house that we currently live in was built in 1890.
Ooh.
And we bought it thinking it was going to have a ghost because a person was murdered in there.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my.
I forgot about that.
And the murder information is in the abstract of our house.
Oh, wow.
And so we thought, oh, this is cool, right? And when I was pregnant with our son 30-some years ago, I was kind of worried about this because it was the mom who was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when we set up the nursery room, while I was pregnant, I slept in that room. Just to see.
Yeah, to see how it was.
And there was nothing.
Mm. Which is both good and bad.
No activity. And there's never been any activity ever in that house. And
interesting.
But now we have the largest footprint in that house.
Mm-hmm.
We live there the longest. And I'm like, so in the future, if people ever live in our house, we're going to.
It could be you.
Yeah, it could be you.
Right? The
ghost. I love that.
Right. We're totally going to have that house.
Good.
Even if it's demolished.
Yeah.
Because a house built in 1890 is probably going to be demolished.
Oh. Well, hopefully no.
Yeah, it will be because it should be. But I thought I would share this.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great.
Thank you. That's a great one.
Six drinks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's called liquid courage.
That's okay. That's okay. We sometimes have drinks while we're recording too.
Thank you. Bye, Jody. Flip phone Jody, everyone. She's leaving. We'll miss her. Bye, flip phone Jody. We'll miss you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Wendy. Oh, did you have something else?
Will this all be in the show
notes? Show notes, yeah. The show nuts. Yeah, Wendy just started listening to us not too long ago, and we met for lunch after, and she said, every time you say show notes, it sounds like you're saying show nuts.
Maybe we are.
So I thought maybe we'll just change it. We'll just
show nuts.
Check the show notes. Somebody over here have one?
Yeah.
Come on up. Good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Caitlin. Taylor.
Taylor.
Okay. So I'm not clairvoyant at all. My mom is. I didn't get any of that, nor did I get her singing voice, which is really sad. But
that shouldn't stop you, though.
Ooh, yeah. and with alcohol, it doesn't.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So I was probably in about second grade, and we had a dog named Duchess who always slept with my mom and my stepdad. And I woke up one night and Duchess was in my bed and she was laying perpendicular or horizontal looking over the side of the bed. And so I, you know, got up probably 2-3 in the morning and looked over the side of the bed. And there was just this steady stream of almost like very thick fog that seemed to not stop and start anywhere, just rolling across the side of the bed. And, you know, as a kid, I'm sitting there like, this can't, there's no, it didn't make any sense to me. And I sat there and watched it for a while. I didn't feel any negative energy and then ended up going to bed. So
she came in to kind of look out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so sweet.
The only time she ever slept in the bed.
Oh.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
That's it.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others? Any others? Carrie, do you have any others? Oh, my goodness. You just park yourself up here.
Okay, does everyone know the Illusion Theater that used to be in the Masonic Temple downtown Minneapolis? So super haunted. They even had Echo Bodine go in to do a clearing.
Really?
And I used to work there, and I heard that they left one of the spirits that cleans up the costume room. And I don't know if it's the janitor or somebody that's there late at night has heard the spirit walking around with keys jangling. So that one they left stay there because they were helpful. But the actors used to complain about a ghost in the audience heckling them when they were rehearsing.
Aww.
And so Echo went in there and she talked to him and said that he supposedly was like Abraham Lincoln-esque and had like a pipe stove hat. And he thought that he was really bad when he was here on Earth and he was afraid to cross over. She didn't know if he murdered somebody or whatnot, but she got him to leave. So I worked there. I don't know how many years after this happened, and I ran the box office. And so I'd be on the floor below in the office. And then when it got to a certain time close to when the play was going to start, I'd have to go upstairs and open it up. And I was the first one up there. So I'd go into the bathroom every time to put on makeup. I would not turn on the lobby light. Every damn time I come out of the bathroom, the lobby light would be on and I would yell. Nobody was there. Or if I would turn the lobby light on and go into the bathroom, I'd come out, the light would be off. And I could feel somebody always watching me. So I'm like, I am not doing this anymore. So the artistic director came in and they all had experienced the spirit. So they knew that they were there. And she's like, Carrie, you got to go and open the box office. And I go, I am not going up there alone again. I'm like, this is what keeps happening. It's creeping me out. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So it was validated. But there's a lot of ghosts in most of the theaters in town.
Yeah, I heard of some other
really
theaters.
Old.
Yeah, I heard there's one at the Fitzgerald Theater.
Oh, probably. I know the First Avenue ghost. Somebody, I don't know if they killed themselves when it was a bus station. Yep. They were waiting for their lover to return or whatever.
There's somebody
that hung themselves
in one of them.
And I swear to God, that was a stall that I always ignored before I even heard the story. Because there was one stall, the women's bathroom, that always creeped me out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep. There's a story. We'll read about that in this book that we brought. Yeah. Maybe we should do that now.
Yeah, we should.
I'll read the First Avenue story since we brought it up. And then, because I knew about that when I was in college and would go to First Avenue. And I remember that and I was always too scared to like try and talk to the ghost or anything. But one time I had enough drinks that I had a little liquid courage and I got up and I went into the stall that I was told it was, which was if you walk back into the ladies' bathroom, it was on the far left in the corner. And I walked in there and I sat down and I was like, all right, come on out if you're in here. And I didn't see anything.
That was anticlimactic.
I know. Okay, so this is another from this book called The Nearly Departed, Minnesota's Ghost Stories and Legends by Michael Norman. And this is from the Minnesota Historical Society Press. You can get it on Amazon, I think. I'll put a link in the show notes. It was a Greyhound bus station, an animal slaughterhouse, and a children's playground. All those previous lives present an infinite number of possibilities for what may haunt Minneapolis's famed music venue, First Avenue, and its adjacent night spot, 7th Street Entry. Those earlier uses of the building and land have been cited by writers and employees as the basis for intermittent sightings of the ghost of a young woman said to have died of a drug overdose when it was a bus station, and an occasional poltergeist activity. A former bar manager checking the woman's bathroom after a late night concert saw such a young woman in one of the stalls hanging by her neck. The manager was shaken and the thought that a patron had committed suicide until she looked back to see the empty space where the body had been. It may have been the same ghost who walked out of 7th Street Entry smiling at two employees as she passed. Barefoot and dressed in an army jacket and jeans, the nameless ghost strolled on to First Avenue and vanished. Other stories involve suddenly airborne objects hurtling across the dance floor, dishes, ashtrays, and bottles, even the old set of headphones and a microphone. Another person claimed to have heard braying sheep in the basement. An out-of-control lighting system supposedly plagued the crew filming Prince's Purple Rain in 1983. Perhaps the strangest story is from a former employee who told music journalist Jim Walsh of the night a lone balloon circled the dance floor, rose to drift by the women's bathroom, and then floated down to settle at the employee's table, accompanied by a sudden blast of cold air. It was, as the witness said, as if someone was leading it by a string.
It's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Anybody have any stories? How about the category can be haunted nightclubs or venues or movie theaters or restaurants, or I know we did a couple of all those already, but anything? No?
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
All right. Well, I did mention this earlier, but we are still at the CC Club in Minneapolis,
yes.
Minnesota. This is a place that has been around forever. How long has this been?
90 Holy cow.
Years.
Yeah.
Almost as old as me. Yes. As Wendy pointed out, almost, not quite. Yeah, I used to hang out here in college and, it was fun. And in the years after college too. It's a great place.
It is very fun.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed much at all, except that I do recall new carpet.
Fancy.
And I do remember that back wall, I believe, was coated in red shag carpeting.
Oh, that is classy.
Day. Somewhere back here, there was red shag carpeting on the walls.
If you thought shag carpet on the floor was good, shag carpet on the walls, next level.
Yeah.
Yep. If I know house fashion, I suppose they call that decor.
House fashion? Yeah, I think they call that.
I like house fashion better.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do have another story from one of our listeners. This was sent to us about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Raven. Do you want to read this one?
Sure. My name is Raven. It's not me. It's her. I'm 39 years old and from Alabama, and I've got some interesting stories. From the ghost of a man in a Civil War hat standing over me as a child, having something evil in my house. That's wide. I've decided to tell you that one. October 2014, my husband had passed away after only a year of marriage. Oh, I'm so sorry. And I was lying awake trying to sleep. I was watching a movie on the couch trying to relax, and I heard the sound of toenails coming down the hall behind me. At this time, I didn't think too much of it as I had an 80-pound German Shepherd and she made noise. Then in the next moment, I was being pushed down on the couch and heard growling in my ear. Needless to say, I was scared. I was able to say a prayer and it left. 2 weeks later, the disconnected alarm set itself off. This was not as scary as the growl, but at this point, I was too tired to deal with anything else. I let out a cry that this is my house, and I've never had a problem since. Hope y'all enjoy this quick tale, Raven. Thanks, Raven. We did enjoy that quick tale.
Yum.
Thanks for the drinks.
Thank you so much for the drinks.
Good. Thanks to everybody for coming and staying.
I mean, it's one except for Flip Phone Jody, but we won't hold that against her.
She's a pediatric intensive care nurse. She probably has more important things to do. Ouch. The truth comes out. All right. You can read your story from the book. How about that?
Okay. How about that? Cash me outside. How about that? Just kidding.
This is also the reference. Same book.
This is also from the same book. Again, The Nearly Departed by Michael Norman. Oh, I gotta move my glass or I'll knock it down. From the comedy of the Marx Brothers and Jack Benny to Broadway spectacles such as The Lion King and Wicked, the Orpheum Theater has been a downtown Minneapolis entertainment landmark for nearly 90 years, almost as old as Amy. According to legend, another performance sometimes occurs backstage, the sudden appearance of a misshapen male ghost. Opened on October 16, 1921, as the Hennepin Orpheum Theater, the Million Dollar Theater drew up vaudeville performers from the colorful Martin Beck's Orpheum circuit for a top ticket price of 47 cents. Breaking the bank. Audiences saw the likes of George Jessel, Dainty June Havoc, Smith and Dale, and even Fanny Bryce.
Fanny Bryce?
I know. I would not joke about that. I joke about a lot, but not Fanny.
No.
6 years later, as vaudeville waned with the coming of the talking pictures, the Orpheum turned into a movie palace. Gone with the Wind had its Twin Cities premiere there in 1940, but we won't think about that now. We'll think about it tomorrow. It's a quote from the movie.
Oh.
You guys. Exactly. The theater was later owned by Ted Mann before being purchased by the Minneapolis Community Development Agency from singer Bob Dylan, ever heard of him, and his brother. A $10 million restoration began in 1993, which restored much of the theater's original architecture highlights, including the original dark Victorian color scheme, an Art Deco marquee, and a one-ton crystal chandelier hanging from the domed ceiling. The phantom of this Orpheum is a fleeting figure whose legendary sightings are few. He is said to have been a working man killed during the complex construction of the theater in 1921. His misshapen form is due to his fatal, horrific accident. He appears only infrequently to tell his tale of woe and then vanishes before any questions can be asked of him. Well, then how do we know what he's telling if we can't ask him questions?
He's not interested in...
I don't know. I might be on Greg's side with that one. That seems a little... They're kind of drawing a lot of conclusions.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we want to do one more story that we've got? Does anybody have any more before...
Anybody?
We've had a lot of good participation.
We have.
We've Greg?
Had a lot of great stories. Greg, you want to come and tell a story? No, Greg. I just joke with Greg. He's a good sport. All right, we got one more story to tell.
This one was sent to us by a listener. Her name is Julie. And this is about her visit to the Mansfield Reformatory. And just a little background on that, in case you don't know, the Ohio State Reformatory is also known as the Mansfield Reformatory. It's a historic prison in Mansfield, Ohio, in the United States. It was built between 1886 and 1910 and remained in operation until December 1990, when a United States federal court ruling ordered the facility be closed as a result of a prisoner's class action suit, citing overcrowded and inhumane conditions. It's been in a lot of TV shows and movies. You probably know it from The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my gosh, that's a great movie.
It is.
So good. If you haven't seen it, you should stop what you're doing after this is over and go home and watch it because it is super duper good.
The prison was used for a large panning scene and the warden's office, officer's quarters were used to shoot a sequence in a civilian apartment. In 2009, the facility was also featured on Ghost Adventures with season 3, episode 4, in case you want to watch it, but I wouldn't recommend it. We're not a fan of the person who was in it.
Some of their tactics are a little aggressive.
Yeah.
And disrespectful.
And disrespectful, yes. Julie writes, good afternoon all. A little story about Mansfield Reformatory. A few friends and I visited in October of 2021. We were able to tour the entry, warden's house, a couple of cell blocks, the chapel, and the attic. The warden's house had several floors, some used as classrooms and dormitories below the warden's quarters. I walked into one of the rooms and I felt so sad and hopeless, no idea what might have occurred. The building was very run down. Some areas had chunks of the walls and ceiling laying around. We continued to the warden's home and some furniture still sat in the rooms. I instantly sensed a very sad lady. She was pretty, light brown hair, dark green velvet hat. Her sons were running around the hallway laughing. She looked at them so sadly.
Aww.
It was hard to be there.
That is sad.
Yeah. We moved into the area used to portray Brooks's bedroom.
Brooks
was a character from The Shawshank.
He was here. It's another reference to the movie.
That one I got.
Thank you.
The stairs to the right were very, very creepy. It took a lot to go up there. There were a couple of weird little doors way up on the ceiling above them, and it went into the chapel. I felt nothing there, but a strange, creepy little cell was built into it. Also, two doors led out to the cell block on either side. We entered the attic area, and that's when I heard, women shouldn't be here.
Ooh, don't like that.
I don't know who said that. I saw these strange beings at the back of the room. It felt like they were brought there by a couple of inmates who came from another prison. I only went halfway into that room and I stopped. And then she sent us some pictures too, which you can find on our blog. I got pictures of the drawings on the walls from the prisoners who stayed there with no heat and air conditioning. It had to be misery, but the prison doesn't have space for everyone transferred there. We went into a couple of cells. It was very high up. I was uncomfortable, so I didn't stay very long. On our way out, we descended into a very beautiful staircase and my palm started burning. I reacted to it and my friends asked if I was okay. My hand was very red, confusing. An hour later, during the tour, the guide shared information about a fire that tragically killed a few people. It took about a week to heal her palm. My skin peeled for about 2 weeks. There was an old safe in the hallway near the stairwell, and it was so cool. It was walk-in size. Thank you.
No, that's too big for a safe.
I could feel a lot of energy around it.
Too big.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No, I don't think I'd want to.
It's a hard pass.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I mean, I like all that stuff, but I don't. Yeah.
I know. Now, someone who is very afraid of it, I sure am interested in it.
You sure? I'm an enigma.
All right. Before we wrap up, does anybody else have anything they want to share?
I've been watching all this food coming out.
I know.
It's really good.
I was too nervous to eat anything.
Oh, see, so I wasn't.
I'm hungry.
Does anybody have any food recommendations?
What did y'all have to eat?
Yeah,
what
did you guys have? Oh, nice.
Nice. Dive bar.
Do they have buffalo wings? Okay. Yes.
Well.
Sold to the buffalo wing.
All right. Well,
thank you so much, you guys and gals and everybody in between. We appreciate you so much for taking time out of this beautiful, honestly, one of the most beautiful fall days we've had in a while
to
come down and spend the afternoon with us and share your ghosty stories and pity laugh at my jokes. I appreciate all of you guys. We appreciate you all.
We do. And I want to send a thank you to Leah and Dawn, both our guests, for visiting today and guesting with us. And a thank you to Carrie, who set this all up for us.
Thank you, Carrie. If you're interested in learning more about us, the Activity Continues podcast, head over to our table and pick up some cards, stickers, or sign up for our mailing list. So thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
We appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.